Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
The election integrity goddess of America. Yes, she combines all of the above and more. Our very own Linda Kearns joining us live now, just for you, Linda. And this amid a ruling in Pennsylvania, as well as very important and perhaps telltale election, special elections happening in Wisconsin, as well as Florida.
I love my new title. I love my new title, Election Goddess. You know, I have a whole list of people at WPHT that I like and that I don't like. Dan's on the I don't like list because of how he makes fun of Elvis. Same with Greg Stocker, but you're definitely on my good list.
Is there a separate list for Matt DeSantis?
Yeah, Matt is, you know.
The love list, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know. Well, come on, Matt needs protection. Poor Matt needs protection.
Nobody can make fun of Matt DeSantis.
Oh, see, this is, and I have the best walk-up music of any guest on WPHT, so I'm really grateful for that.
We gave you a beautiful intro.
Yeah, you forced it upon us.
No, we love it. We love you. You know we love you, and you were there helping us as well raise so much money for our great nonprofit on our Thon Day with the Travis Mannion Foundation. So you always bring it. So thank you.
Right. And I was happy to do that. And remember, when the morning show has to play Elvis for a week,
yes,
anyone who wants to call in each day and pay $200 to buy me out and stop playing Elvis, I would be happy to allow that so that that money can go to the Travis Mannion Foundation.
Nice. Fantastic use of $200.
You know, see how smart she is. So tell us, if you will, and I do want to get to what's going on and just your take on Wisconsin, on Florida, the money being thrown around here. I just saw the stats about Wisconsin, that special election that's taking place today, even though the early voting has been going on for a bit. But, you know, it's just the money that people are pouring into these elections. But what's your take as far as Pennsylvania? Do you think this ruling that happened yesterday with the federal judge saying that it's basically burdensome to date those mail-in ballots, do you think this could go all the way to the United States Supreme Court, Linda?
It could. This was a ruling by one district judge in the Western District of Pennsylvania. When the plaintiffs filed this case, they picked the Erie County District because there was only one judge there, so they knew who would get the case. She was a Trump appointee, but what a lot of people don't know that in Pennsylvania, at least prior to this administration, the senators had a lot of say in who got appointed to the district court. And so even appointments during Trump's first term were Democrats and liberals in Pennsylvania. So that's one thing people might not realize. It just because a district judge, a federal district judge, is a Trump appointee or, you know, a Bush appointee, or you cannot just assume what kind of judge they'll be. So that's the first thing. This attack in the Western District of Pennsylvania, this has been going on for years. It was an attack in the federal courts on basically our ballot casting laws. And I do think, and many scholars think, that the judge got this wrong. Voting is a constitutional right, so you can't burden voters, but normal and reasonable ballot casting laws are the province of the legislature. And while voting is a constitutional right, mail balloting is not necessarily a constitutional right. That's a legislative grace. So it is, I do think that if we get the right panel on the Third Circuit, it would get overturned. Whether or not the Supreme Court takes it, as I'm sure your listeners know, the Supreme Court can decide what cases they take and what cases they don't take. So it could go to the Supreme Court. But a lot of this talk about mail balloting and signing them, it's becoming less of an issue in Pennsylvania. There are less and less ballots that are not dated correctly because there's been such a push for education. But I think what it goes to show you is the left will attack any reasonable process we have in place for security. I think dating of ballots is very important. I think it's part of the process. I think that I think that it's important when you sit down to fill out your ballot that you sign and date it. You have an intent to date it. And then we know what date that you filled it out. You know what date you filled it out. But we'll see what happens as this goes up to the Third Circuit, the appellate court.
In this one, though, and you've said this over and over, that we just need better laws, that the laws are clearly and succinctly written, right? And you've said that before. Is that the bigger issue here?
That Dawn, you hit it right on the head. That is the issue, because the reason the mail ballots keep getting attacked but the provisional ballots don't get attacked is because the way the provisional ballot statute, part of the statute, was written, it specifically says what the counties can reject a provisional ballot for. What are the reasons? The mail ballot law written in 2019 was written so loosely that it really, the counties were not giving guidance. So that's how we ended up with some counties allowing them not to be dated, some counties allowing them to be dated. And at this point, Dawn, we just need one rule across the entire state that everyone will follow, because like I've said many, many times, it shouldn't matter whether you're, say, an Eagles fan or a Steelers mm-hmm. fan. Your vote should be counted the same way in Pennsylvania. So that's the larger issue. That's the bigger part of the process. But I also think that people should realize, and this election in Lancaster County is evidence of it, is the Democrats are not going to quit. They don't quit. Mm-hmm. And you know, I heard Nick, he made a point this morning that, well, voters have to take responsibility for themselves and they need to know when these elections are. But, you know, I live in reality and that's not reality. We have to coax and prod every single voter and not leave any votes on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, that was something that you and your team, Michael Whatley, Laura Trump, all of you really made everybody aware in Pennsylvania as far as the ground game, Trump Force 47, but also the election integrity, stay in line, all of that. And I think, you know, you said it, Linda, you really predicted it. Right after the election, you said, hey, everybody, don't just get comfortable and think it's over.
No, and honestly, Dawn, I think that if I drove to Lancaster today and I just picked 100 random people, I went into a coffee shop, a library, maybe stood outside of school, went to the mall, and I just picked 100 random people, and I just said to them, hey, did you vote in the special election last week? I mean, I would bet right now 80 of them would say, what special election?
Yeah.
I know you're laughing, but that's the reality, because people don't realize that there's elections. And in 2024, obviously we had the resources to do it, but getting voters to turn out for you, I mean, that starts well before the election. First, mm-hmm. you have to figure out who the voters are. You know, some of our voters are what we call four of fours. They voted four times in the last four election. You and I are four of fours. So we're the reliable voters. So mm-hmm. campaigns treat them one way. And then we have to figure out who the persuadables are, who are the undecideds and the independent voters. That's a key block there. Then we have to figure out who the low propensity voters are, who might vote, like maybe registered Republican, but really needs to be drawn out and vote. We also have to figure out if anyone who would normally vote for the other guy would come back to our team. We have to find those voters who are one issue voters, say the pro-life voters or the pro-Second Amendment voters. So that campaigns do that well before the election. And then you start targeting them individually. And I realize that Twitter, there are people who look at Twitter, mm-hmm. but there are more people who don't look at Twitter. So just tweeting out that you should vote, it doesn't do anything, because likely if you're looking at Twitter, you're probably going to vote anyway. I mean, finding voters, when campaigns need to do multiple points of voter contact, there's so many that they have to do, and that's how you get people to vote. And in 2024, we had this awesome political director, Ashley Walkevich, and she's at the White House now in the Office of Political Affairs, but she understood what was needed, and we worked together, and she made sure that these voters were contacted all different ways: posters, banners, yard signs, meetings, showing up at festivals, billboards, brochures, phone calls, text messages, encouraging you to talk to your neighbors, advertisements, social media, radio, both radio advertisements and then also just, you know, being on the radio, videos on the internet, you know, websites. So there are so many different ways you have to contact voters. And I think sometimes we get in this echo chamber, like we're really into it. We're listening to the radio and we're hearing about it every day. But that's not how the rest of the world works. And in these elections, you really, really, really have to, it's a really, you know, difficult job to target and find all these voters and not leave any of them on the table. And then in addition to finding the voters like we did in 2024, we have to convince them, yes, your vote's going to count. We're out there protecting the vote. So you recruit poll watchers to make sure that there's poll watchers out there. And that also helps bring out the vote, because for every poll watcher you recruit, I'm sure they're telling their friends, their family, their cousins, their aunts, their uncles, and that just gets the word out more. Yet, yes, there is an election. So it's really a robust process. You can't just sit back and say, oh, well, there's more Republicans registered in this district, so we're definitely going to win. That's how you lose elections.
So in Wisconsin, as far as the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, it's drawing national attention. Does somebody like, to your point, Elon Musk going there over the weekend, and even with the thing that he did here in Pennsylvania, that was Krasner had filed suit against him, Elon, you know, won that one. But, you know, just saying, hey, sign up, sign the petition. A couple of you will win $1 million. More of you will get $100. Is that the kind of stunt, if you will, that really works to just raise that level of awareness?
Right. That's one of the prongs. I mean, if we only did that, we can't count on that. You have to do everything else. You have to have people calling voters. You have to have people knocking on doors. You have to have people texting voters. You have to have people wearing the T-shirts and the hats and so forth. You have to do the media hits. You have to go to the community events and talk to the different people in the community to get their friends and family out to vote. And, you know, this morning you had a caller call in. He said he was a committee person, and I think he was trying to explain what he was, and I think I can boil that down. What you may not know and what most people in Pennsylvania don't know is that you vote for your committee people. Like I live in Philadelphia, and so within a few blocks, that's my precinct, because you know it's so dense in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And you vote for, whether you're, if you're a Republican, you vote for your two Republican committee people. And those committee people, their job is to get out the vote. So if the system works appropriately, every single precinct in Pennsylvania would have Republican committeemen working on your neighbors getting your vote out. Now, the reality is we don't have that ground game. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of precincts without any committee people. So that's like that's the lowest level. That's the grassroots. And then those committee people vote for the ward leaders, and the ward leaders are responsible for the entire ward. And then the ward leaders vote for the people who run the state party. So, you know, getting involved at that local level, that's where it starts, and encouraging people to get involved. And last year, you know, when the RNC was my client, we worked to assist the local parties to do that. It's just that they need to do it on their own too. I mean, it just can't be that when these national parties, you know, when the national party comes in, the local parties really have to do it on their own too.
I don't know. Maybe we need to do a different brand, like cookies. You know how the Girl Scout cookies, they said they're like really unhealthy. So maybe we need people to go out and sell, I don't know, Republican partisan cookies that are MAHA, a little healthier, go door to door, get the cookies.
We need to alert the voters, because the Democrats are just very good at getting voters out. They're just very good at it. And there's a lot of talk. I see these tweets. I told everyone to vote earlier, or yes, it's mail balloting, you know, but I think you're missing the point, because you can't just encourage people to vote by mail, because if you're basically cannibalizing the same voters, if basically you're encouraging people to vote by mail on Twitter, and they're the same voters who are going to show up anyway, all you're doing is shifting election day voters to mail voters, and you're not changing the overall numbers. You have to, you know, go down the chain a little bit. Who are the people you can persuade to vote? Who are the low propensity voters, the ones who might not show up, the ones who didn't even know there was a full election, despite you guys talking about it every day? There was, like I said, Dawn, and maybe Dan and I should take a road trip up there and start asking people, because I bet most of the people would say, I didn't even know there was a special election. I really don't know what you're talking about. I have to get to work. I have to go pick up my kid at daycare. I have to go walk my dog, whatever I need to do. Yeah. People are not thinking about this all the time. And the Republicans as a party, especially the local parties, both in the counties and the state, they have to do a better job. And it takes money, it takes resources, it takes a big volunteer ground game. But if we want the Pennsylvania to be like the Pennsylvania that we want, then this is what we need. And especially in that special election, and who won that special election, that affects really the entire state, mm-hmm. not just that senatorial district. And, if I was the chairman of the GOP, I would have called every single Republican state senator and say, hey, how can you help this person? Write a check. Can you send volunteers? What can you do? Because we need the votes in the state Senate. So I think that there's a lot that we can do as a party. Mm-hmm. I hope with you talking about it and your station talking about it with your encouragement, mm-hmm. we'll continue to keep our foot on the gas.
Yeah, and Linda, to be self-critical, part of this, a couple of things with the media, because that's my wheelhouse when I analyze the media. So you used to always have a political reporter for every local newspaper, local station, whether it's a broadcast entity. Now we have less and less local media, right? They're all corporate run, and certainly very few. Pat Loeb, I know, is KYW News Radio. She's at City Hall. But, and that's Philadelphia. There really aren't any more. Bruce Gordon used to do it for Fox, if you remember him. But there aren't really locally those political news directors, right? The people who've covered this for years and years, and they know everybody. And so we don't really have the coverage, especially the uber local stuff. And then even for us, I'll be critical of Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We end up a lot of times, and I do this, we all do it, we end up talking about Trump. Because he's Trump and he's fascinating, right? But on the other side, that really takes away from all the coverage of some of the local ticky-tacky stuff, the ins and outs that you're talking about.
Right, and this is something I say on your station all the time, so I hope I don't bore your voters. I mean, in addition to talking about Elvis, but who's on your homeowners association board is going to affect you a lot more than what President Trump does. And you have to realize that, because the person on your homeowners association, they're affecting how your house looks like, or your condo, mm-hmm. and how the trash get picks up, and what your condo dues or your homeowners fees dues are. And that affects you every single day. Similarly, who's your mayor, who's your council person, who's on your school board? Those are the things that affect us every single day. And I realize that we as Philadelphians and Republicans, we don't have a lot of say in these races, but we should still show up. Why? Because if you cast a vote, even in this primary, when there's not a lot to mm-hmm. for Republicans to cast, you're there. So the Republicans know, okay, that's a voter that's out there. That's a 4 of 4. So I have to target them. I know that they're a reliable voter. I'll just make sure they show up, and then I can move on to the other voters. And that helps campaigns to know who are their reliable voters, who aren't. So Republicans really have to show up. And, there's some districts in Northeast Philadelphia where we have elected Republicans, but the voter registration is Dem. So you just have to keep showing up.
Well, Linda Kearns, you always show up for us. We love you. Thank you so much for being here today, breaking down what's going on. Thanks, Linda.
Dawn, thank you for my new title. I love it. Election Goddess.
The Election Goddess of America. Dun, dun, dun.
And anyone can follow me at Linda Kearns Law.
Linda Kearns Law. Thank you, Linda.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.